And now, News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents
the N4G Podcast.
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance Gambit's Con. You've got the wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
We should have a cluck off.
Terrible. Hey man, shut the cluck up.
Alright, we are back for another week. News for Gamers Podcast Radio, the week of June 16th, 2008. And this week, Metal Gear has taken people away, because we have a very small room full of people today.
Yes, it has taken us away from here to some places far away, like Zanzibar Land.
Well, as you know, as you can hear, everybody's fan favorite, the Gambus Con, is back in the house.
Hello, hello, how's it going?
Everybody's favorite security guard and video game personality.
Get out of here!
And all you're with, also with us we have, you better like me when I'm angry, because I'm always angry, controller-breaking Killer Wolverine.
What's up, bitches?
Yeah, that's a nice one, yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
And that's
well,
it.
Well, we got a cat.
You got a cat.
Oh, you got a cat.
All right.
You're a cat.
So we're going to move into some fondling, and we'll do it a little different. We'll skip over the big one until everybody's done, which probably shouldn't take long.
Because,
yeah. Not many people are playing much besides Das Big One.
Yeah.
So we'll roll on to... we'll go over here to Mr. Killer Wolverine first.
Oh,
cause
yeah.
I know you haven't been playing a whole lot, even though you're not playing Metal Gear.
No, because I don't have my PS3. It's on loan.
You loaned it on the week of Metal Gear. You know how many people would shoot you in the face for that?
Well, I figured, you know, because I'm not like a huge Metal Gear fan. I want to play when I get it back, but our good old buddy Professor Chaos is a bigger Metal Gear fan, so I thought I would help him out and get his fix.
So. It's like a drug.
So, yeah, I'm not too much. I played a lot of Bioshock.
Bioshock.
A lot of
late
Bioshock.
Late to the party.
Late to the party. I picked it up when it, you know, first launched, but got rid of it. But I love it.
You should.
I can continue to love it. It's hard. Those big daddies own me every time.
They own you in the face?
In the face. In the face. I shock them, and they're like, that don't hurt. And they shoot me in the face.
So how far are you in the game, are you?
I just... What did
I just started fighting Sander Cohen, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The paintings guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The artiste?
Yeah, the artiste.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting area.
Yeah, that's what ZT was saying. But I just got one picture on this little canvas right now. So
three more to go.
I'll be playing more of that probably this... excuse me. Twice a week.
Man, you had twins.
And naming them after you.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. So I'll probably be playing that and only that until I beat it. So hopefully I'm almost at least halfway done so I can get the good ending and go back and beat the bad ending just to get the achievements too. So
all about the achievements.
Yep. So I played a lot of that, and then I played Hulk for like 5 minutes.
Hulk.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
You know, you're supposed to go, it's all right.
It's all right. But I guess it follows the movie. I didn't play it too much. But
is it like Ultimate Destruction?
Yeah. The camera's a little looser than Ultimate Destruction. But
I love Ultimate Destruction, so I probably will like this a lot. When
it's good.
Finally sent me my copy. Blah.
Well, hopefully you'll play it soon, because it's fun. It's worth playing. There's a lock-on feature now, because the camera is so loose. So you hit the L trigger, you lock on to an enemy near you, and beat the crap out of them. Pummel them. You can just hold down an attack button, and I punched him. Punched, like, this little enemy, like, who's, like, ant-sized compared to you, and I just shot him across the whole freaking map.
But, kid, like, isn't there achievement for, like, punching them, like, 436 feet distance-wise?
Man, that sounds fun.
That just reminds, like, me of Crackdown, where I would try to get, like, throw things as far as I could.
Yeah.
Like, jumping off a building and throwing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly.
And then shooting rockets at
but
them.
But it's hard to shoot or hit an enemy.
I was going to say shoot.
All the way across, like, straight line because, you know, he'll bounce off buildings and go another direction. So it's kind of hard.
Can
but
you pick him up?
You can pick him up. You can pick up anyone.
See, I want to pick him up, take him to the top of a building, and throw him from there.
Yeah, I didn't try that yet.
See? My brain's kicking.
Well, see, I don't know if you can because he uses his hands, you know, obviously, to climb up the...
Well, you don't know till you try.
Well, right. I mean, it's worth a try. It'll be fun to see.
Maybe there'll be a person at the top of the building.
No.
Yes, because people just hang out on top of skyscrapers.
This is a beautiful view.
Yeah, this is a beautiful view. Holy crap, the Hulk is here.
So, but, yeah, you can't knock down buildings, like previously said by our friend.
Maybe you can, maybe you just haven't hit them hard enough.
No, I've hit them as hard as you can, as much as you can. They just get the first layer taken off, so you can, like, peer inside.
Hmm.
So, smaller buildings you might be able to, but I'm in the city right now causing all kinds of ruckus.
Well, he said he destroyed, like, the Stark Tower, didn't he?
I guess. I don't know. I haven't even counted the Stark Tower
yet. I wonder if there's an achievement for that.
I don't know. There's an achievement if you own Iron Man when you load it up, if you have a save.
You get an achievement for that. But, it's similar to Crackdown meets Grand Theft Auto for the fact that you could do anything pretty much when you get into the city. Actually have a wanted level 2, sort of.
Can you be Bruce Banner?
Only in cutscenes.
God,
as far as I right
because
now.
Because that was what sucked about that one Hulk game.
Yeah.
Where
you had to sneak
the
around.
Stealth missions as Bruce. Who wants to do that?
I remember that game.
Oh my God. I was like, who literally wants to sneak around as Bruce Banner? The game is called The Hulk.
Yeah, and you play as Bruce Banner.
It's not called Bruce Banner Espionage Action.
Yeah.
No, the only thing that, I've only seen is Bruce Banner's in a cutscene, and I've only been through one cutscene. I haven't played it much, but they got a wanted level for it. The more destruction you cause, the higher it gets. I'm on level 4 wanted level right now.
Well, that's
apparently
disappointing,
because
there's 9.
So,
you have not destructed enough.
Well, that's all I was doing, so I hadn't progressed through the story that much, but it's fun. The controls are simple. You jump, you hold down the A button, just like in Crackdown. The longer you hold it down, the higher you jump. And then you can slam the ground.
Nice.
And the Hulk, like Sonic Smash, whatever you call it, you just combo it.
Sonic Boom!
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
Hulk Smash!
Hulk Smash!
That, and then if you do it into the combo with the strong attack, the Y button, he does the Hulk pound, the ground pound. So it's all combos. And you learn new moves, and you can jump higher. You get feats. You can do different kind of, destroy enough buildings or...
I thought you meant you literally got feet.
No, not feet. Oh. Like accomplishments. And you can earn...
Sweet.
You earn new abilities like... he automatically heals. Like after combat is
Don't
done.
All superheroes anymore automatically
well,
heal?
Well, it's like Crackdown or if you want to do it Marvel like Wolverine. He heals very slowly. But then you earn the heal ability, which if you you toggle it... You get 4, I guess, special abilities. You toggle it with the D-pad... And then you hit Y and B at the same time, and he goes into, like, this little crouch, and he turns red, and he heals, and hurts everyone around him. So, it's interesting so far. It's, I haven't really done much. Like I said, I just went around causing destruction, picking up taxis, beating the crap out of people with them, because you can just smash it against the ground. And
there's nothing like smashing people with a taxi.
Yeah, and you pick up little humans and just punch him by hitting the X button and then uppercutting him with the Y button into a building. That's awesome. Just seeing a body just bounce off the building.
Man,
you tortured small children as a child, didn't you?
I'm starting to get scared, man. Well,
it's just
jeez.
It's
I meant
fun.
Animals, not children. Sorry. Clarify that.
But it's pretty much just a button masher, but it's fun. So
that's
far.
What it's supposed to be.
Well, and it's fun. But like I said, the camera's a little bit loose, but the that's why they included a lock-on feature this time around. So I'll be eager to play more of that to see how the story progresses and see how much it strays from the movie, which was excellent, by the way. So,
yeah, I heard that Liv Tyler did a really good job in it.
Yeah, no, she didn't really at all.
Well, she looks hot. I'll say that.
No, she doesn't really. So, I don't like her, but
okay.
Whatever. But
okay.
The game is good. Yeah. I'm looking to play more of that, maybe. And then maybe some Lego Indiana Jones.
Lego my Indiana Jones.
Lego Dr. Jones.
Dr. Jones! But that all depends on if I don't play Bioshock, because once I put it in my system, it's over. That's all I play. Time goes by fast when I play Bioshock.
That's because it's so immersive.
I thought I was only playing for an hour. I played for three. So
that's what happens.
That's a sign of a good game.
When I got home after watching The Hulk and The Happening, it was like five. I was like, all right, I'll play for an hour. Go to bed at six. I went to bed at like eight. So I'm loving it, so I'll be playing more of that. I won't get to play Metal Gear, unfortunately, probably for a long time, but that's okay. That's okay. I can deal. I like watching it.
Yeah, he's already seen the ending.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there.
Yep.
Man, you've already seen the ending, and yeah, you haven't even played it yet.
Yeah, yeah, it's a long-ass ending, but it seems like it's a really good game. I watched the last, three hours of it? The last act and the last 3 hours of it, so.
Yeah, make sure that you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anyone.
Okay, okay.
I'm not going to tell anyone, like, in the podcast. I might tell Professor Chaos because he's got my PS3 so I can get it back.
I'll tell you how it ends, just so you give me my PS3 back.
No, yeah. I won't do that.
Here's the ending.
But, yeah, so. I think that's pretty much. I don't know if there's anything coming out this week that I really want to play.
Well, then you would be into Bioshock and Hulk.
Yeah, and maybe Lego.
I think we're at a nice slowdown point again until July.
I need to play some catch up. So.
Some July stuff coming. Some Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur.
So
four.
I think that's it. Those two games. That's it.
There
excellent.
You go. So we'll move on to Mr. Khan.
Let's see. Jeez, once I played Metal Gear, man, it's like I can't even remember any other game. Let me see. I played the demo for Commandos 3.
Oh, you just played the demo?
Yeah, I played the demo. So, I thought it was all right. Pretty cool. I'd like to pick up, like, Assault Heroes 2 and Commandos 3 and pretty much see which one's the best. Probably Assault Heroes.
I look like the same almost, except for you're not in a little.
I don't know. Commandos has a certain charm to it. It reminds me of Akari Warriors.
Yeah, it does. It's old school.
And it's three-player co-op, and you go like get in the tanks and blow each other up. I mean, it's I really dig Commandos 3.
So it's three-player co-op. So it what is Assault Heroes 2? Is that just two-player?
Two-player co-op.
Okay, so.
If you read my review, you would know.
Oh yeah, if you'd read his review, where have you been?
I've been avoiding some internet.
I promise you, that there's no spoilers for Metal Gear on my site.
Well, that's good to know. That is fantastic to know.
If you pay me, I'll spoil it for you.
No.
Oh well, I tried.
You should have went the other route and said, if you pay me, I won't spoil it for you. See, that's called blackmail.
Yeah.
Will it work? Pay me, I won't spoil it for you.
Let me think. Did I play anything else?
Totally blew you off.
Sorry about that.
No, I don't care.
Let me see. I played a little bit more Sega Dreamcast.
Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
More Marvel versus Capcom DOS?
Actually, it was more SNK versus Capcom and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. I am a bad mofo with Ryu in
You're
that game.
A bad mofo?
Yeah, I'm pretty good with Ryu now.
You going to put your money where your mouth is?
Oh, snap.
Oh, I just might. I just might have to.
Oh, snap.
Since the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yeah, Mr. Wolverine.
Are you talking about Ryu in Street Fighter 3 or Capcom versus SNK? Not that he's a whole lot different between the two, but...
Actually, I'm pretty darn good with him in Third Strike. I mean, I can pretty much decimate.
Are you playing with a stick or are you playing with a controller?
Controller.
Ooh, I'll whomp you now. I'll yank out my Dreamcast stick, my Dreamcaster stick.
You know, speaking of joysticks, I think I might pick up the, because about a week ago I read that there's going to be a Soul Calibur 4 arcade stick, and I'm thinking about picking that up.
Yeah, it's just the old Soul Calibur stick with new paint on it and a new controller port.
Yeah.
I have the DOA stick, which is the same stick as everything else, so...
It's a Hori stick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Using it for my fighting games on my 360.
And also the Virtual Fighter 5 was the same stick as well.
I've never been a big fan of those. I can't use them. I suck.
I'd like because you didn't grow up in the arcades.
I'd like to use them, you know, because, you know, it has that nostalgia of the arcade feel.
I was raised by a coin op.
Yeah.
Which one?
Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, yeah.
Killer Instinct.
MK2.
Street Fighter.
Heck yeah. I remember Street Fighter playing that for the first time at, I think I was at Pizza Hut.
I still, I'm sorry I have to embarrass you on the show, but I still remember this story was, we went to Kings Island? Might have been Kings Island, we were there.
Okay.
And we went into the arcade.
Uh-huh.
And Gambus is all like, oh, Street Fighter Alpha 2, I'm so good at this. He's like, I'm about to rock your world. I'd never played it, because I've never played it in the arcade. I'm like, all right, I'll play you. So I picked Rolling 2. I smoked Gambus Khan so fast, and I just looked at him. I'm like, I thought you were supposed to be the master.
Man, you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Dude. You see, I hid that in the deep recesses of my mind. And now that you mentioned
that. Now, see, he's
going
to have nightmares.
I remember Rolento.
You do remember
Rolento. I remember the knives.
You do.
The throwing knives.
And you remember my baton combos on your face.
Jeez. Why do you have to bring that memory back, man?
Because it's a good memory for me.
Yeah, we was at Kings Island Amusement Park, and we're in this place where there's a bunch of roller coasters. And what were we doing? We're playing video games. I mean, yeah. But, yeah, that was when Alpha 2 first
Alpha
came out.
Alpha 2.
Yeah. Because I was playing Alpha 1, the original one, on PlayStation. And I guess I thought I was pretty good at it. And
see, Alpha 1, I did not like Alpha 1. I love Alpha 2 and 3.
Alpha 1 was really low-key.
Yeah.
Really low-key.
It felt really limited.
Bare bones, yeah. Stripped, thrown together.
So what other games you been rocking out on Dreamcast? Are you playing anything else?
That's it, basically.
That's it? All rest Metal Gear?
Yeah, all Metal Gear.
Well,
once I got Metal Gear, it's like, man, if I play anything else, it's going to be almost like a
letdown?
Yeah, it's going to be like a going back 2 or 3 years into the past.
Well, see, I started off the week, and I've been trying to wrestle my way through Ninja Gaiden. And I played 2 more chapters of that, and I swear to God, I thought the bosses were just getting harder.
Yeah.
And they are. There's no doubt about that. Uh-huh. But I get to the boss of chapter 6, and not only was he wasn't too hard to beat, but after I beat him, you're in a giant coliseum. After I beat him, literally the entire coliseum fills up with werewolves. And I have to kill all of them before it'll let me leave.
Holy crap.
And I died the first time. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. But then I realized, like, I thought my dragon sword was the bomb.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was, like, the best weapon in the game. But when you beat this boss, you get this big, giant scythe.
Uh-huh.
So I decided the second time I did it that I was just going to use the scythe. I mowed through those werewolves like they were butter. Oh, my God. Just one slice, one vertical
butter
slice.
Butter werewolves.
Arms flying off, limbs flying off. Oh, it was a bloodbath.
Jeez.
In that coliseum after I got done with the scythe. And I've used the scythe since. Because the level after that is another airship level, like in the first game. And, man, I ripped through that. And that level was, like, all machine gun guys. Machine gun and rocket launcher guys.
Nice.
And I was just cutting through them like they were butter.
Like
with
they
my
were
giant
butter.
Scythe,
butter.
Man.
Butter was dripping out of the screen. You're like, I gotta get some toast.
That's the best thing about Ninja Gaiden is just the weapons. And what's funny is I got the Tonfus in the chapter on the airship.
Uh-huh.
I haven't even used him yet. Just because I like my scythe too much. I'm trying to get it upgraded to level 3.
Level 3, huh?
So, now that Metal Gear is completed, I can go back and finish Ninja Gaiden.
One day he's had the game. One day. And it is done.
Nobody believed me that I would sit there and play that from beginning to end. There you go.
So I guess this leads us into our Metal Gear Solid 4.
No, I'm not done.
Oh. Okay. You're not done. Okay.
I did play some more Quake Wars because I'm trying to get that up for review. I played some more of that. It gets frustrating, the campaign does.
Uh-huh.
It does get frustrating because your partners are kind of dumb in certain areas. Not as dumb as Frontlines.
Oh, good.
You should not look at that. I mean, they actually do the objectives, and they will cover you, so good. They're not that dumb. But sometimes they'll do dumb things, which is frustrating. But I still do enjoy Quake Wars, and I'm looking forward to actually getting more online time with it. And then I played two of the new arcade games. I played Frogger 2.
And how was that?
I wish I could get a refund.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I was watching him play it, and like, this is retarded.
You think Frogger, you're thinking the sequel, you're thinking, oh, bigger, better, crossing the road.
Yeah.
No, you're not. It's like a little adventure game built on the Frogger idea.
Yeah, you get a little story with it and everything.
Yeah, it's got a little storyline. And
how compelling.
It's really...
The life of a frog crossing the streets.
Well, apparently an alien crash lands onto Earth.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's what happens in the first part of it. But after that, like, you give him his ship stuff back. I mean, I don't know why I'm paying attention to this story. Just ignore me.
So aliens are invading.
No. One crash lands and Frogger helps him build his ship back up.
Dude.
Yeah, that's...
It's like Fisher-Price caliber storytelling right there.
Yeah, it's garbage. I'm just throwing that out there.
Is Barney in this game, too?
He might be. I haven't quite got through the levels
yet. He's probably a secret character.
And the other game I played was Wolf of the Battlefield, Commandos 3.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I love that game. It is so old school, so like Akari Warriors, Contra, kind of like the old Commando.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cartoony, it's over the top, there's lots of explosions.
Is the multiplayer online?
Yes.
Sweet, because I'm thinking about buying the full version.
Yes, that is one game that I think is definitely worth picking up on arcade.
So that we could have like a three-player co-op.
It would be a fiasco, man. It would be some crazy blowing up stuff. It's the awesome sauce.
Sweet.
But I think that's it. I think that's it besides Metal Gear.
Yeah.
So now we talk about Metal Gear, and we can talk about it from three perspectives here. This would be kind of interesting.
Three perspectives?
You have one guy who's probably a quarter of the way through the game. Maybe a little more than a quarter.
Close to about a third.
About a third of the way through the game. You have a guy that hasn't played it at all, and then you got me, and I've completed it. I'm all the way through. So without spoiling anything... should be an interesting... because I think in a couple weeks, once everybody gets through the game, we'll have an episode where we just talk about everything. No holds barred. We're just going to talk about it. And if you don't want to hear it, we'll be sure to put the time stamps in there when you could skip.
So would you say this would be like a trilogy of episodes, like maybe next week we could talk about a little bit more, and then the third week we just talk about it all flat out?
Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about it next week because you'll be further and Wombat will be here to have played it.
Yeah.
So, and then I doubt you'll have played it.
I doubt it too.
So. But just let's talk about where we are with Metal Gear today. It came out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had 3 days since to put some time in. What are your feelings? Get a jump off point here. The spoiling part is, if you don't know how many acts there are, if you don't want to know right now, there's 5. So you could just have muted that. What act are you on?
I am on act 2.
How sad is it that you're not supposed to know how many acts there are? That there's some people out there that don't want to know. I just had to... So you're on 2.
Yeah, I'm on act 2. I think I'm probably close to the end of act 2.
You are. From where what you told me earlier, you are.
Yeah, I defeated a boss.
You defeated a boss.
Yeah. And it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So far about the game, how do you feel? I mean, like, because this, if you've played Metal Gear for very long, you know that this is a completely different experience as far as how it works.
Yeah.
Because it's been so westernized. As far as how it works. How do you... I mean, you've played Gears. You've played Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I think it plays pretty good. I think it's an improvement over the past Metal Gears in terms of gameplay. And, I mean, in terms of, like, basic controls. It's still a little bit convoluted.
Sometimes.
It can get convoluted, but at the same time... there's a lot of options open to the player.
there's a lot of options open to the player.
Yeah.
The one thing that kind of bothers me about the game sometimes is his movement still feels kind of stiff.
Yeah.
When you compare it to other games of the same kind of motif, he's like when you roll in Gears, it feels very organic and fluid.
Yeah.
When he rolls in Metal Gear, it feels very solid and stiff. And I know the fanboys just exploded. I'm not saying Gears of War is better than Metal Gear Solid. Relax. I'm just making a comparison. But I do like how it works. Was I mistaken in noticing in the options menu there's a lock-on feature?
You know, I think I saw a lock-on feature as well.
I saw that in the options menu, and I'm thinking, I wonder how good it is.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to kind of check it out, because...
You see, with me playing, the only thing I've changed in the controls is I inverted everything.
Well, I inverted everything, too.
Yeah.
And I turned the sensitivity way up, because there's a part later in the game where I'm consistently turning around. It's a vehicle segment, and I'm consistently turning around back and forth, and
yeah,
it was going too slow for me. So I had to crank it up in order to do that segment, and then I just left it there for the rest of the game. The shooting feels so much better than it did in the past.
Oh, yeah.
I like how you can hold the left trigger down to go into the over-the-shoulder cam. You can switch left and right shoulders by clicking in on the stick. And then
yeah,
if you just tap triangle, you go into first-person mode. And it remembers you were in first-person mode when you let go and come back into it. So I really, that helps for the sniping parts, because it remembers what distance you were zoomed in.
Yeah.
So that will help with the sniping parts.
So tell me, this isn't really a spoiler per se, but because it happens at the very, very, very beginning, which commercial did you get?
Commercials that I got were, I got the body workout one.
Yeah.
Which is, I literally, when I turned the game on, it came on, I'm like, what the hell is this? Did they mix my disc up?
Yeah.
At the manufacturing plant? They'll sit there and watch this stupid commercial, these guys like running around like, you can pump up your body, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what?
And it's live action. It's real people.
Yeah.
it looks like an actual commercial.
And then the second commercial I got was the wolf, the like enhancer thing or whatever, where it shows the DNA code being built and it like explodes. It's like, we want you to say, yeah. I mean, it was just... Man.
When you see the beginning of the game, when you start and you see some commercials that are basically from the future, you're like, this, you just know that this experience is going to be pretty much different than any other game that you've ever played.
It's just weird that that's how they would start the game off.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to like pan back and somebody was going to be watching the commercial, but then the commercials never come into play. Like, why did they show them? And,
yeah,
and they run if you let the game sit. Like, in its idle mode,
yeah,
they run during that. I don't know how many there are total, but I've seen, like, 4 or 5.
Well, I checked out if you get the limited edition from GameStop.
Yeah, that's the one I have.
Yeah, I checked out the disc. I didn't go into the sections that pertain to the making of the game. Because, you know, I don't want any spoilers.
See, I left that disc completely out of my system because it had that big spoiler thing on it.
Yeah, I went to the contents, and there's a part of the contents that just pertains to the commercials, and I watched that, and basically they said that the commercials are from the time that the game takes place in, which is like 2014, and Hideo Kojima, I guess, wanted some kind of bizarre way to throw the player into that type of world, like the world that the game takes place in, and he wanted it to be you know, kind of different and bizarre. And it definitely was bizarre. It was one of those WTF moments.
It was definitely weird, and I was kind of like thrown off by it when I first started playing the game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I actually thought the first time the eggs broke into the plate that was another commercial. At
yeah,
first, I'm like, what? Eggs?
And you know, those eggs are real, too.
Those eggs are real?
Yeah, the eggs that are in the skillet are real.
So it's just CGI everything else?
Pretty much. Because the newest issue of Edge magazine had a documentary about the play test where all these different media people from all over the world got to play MGS4, and there was a part about there's a sequence where the character Sonny is frying eggs, and I guess they were like, are those eggs real? And Hideo Kojima's like, yes, that's real. And they're like, why'd you do that? And he said something like, there's no better way to cook eggs than real eggs or something like that. Some kind of outlandish thing. But yeah, the eggs are real.
It's very interesting. And it kind of just takes you into the briefing for each act is the eggs. It's like a recurring theme.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but it's at the same time, it's Kojima.
Yeah, Kojima, he's, I don't know, it's almost the point where I'm almost thinking that he's playing off of the bizarre creative type.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, because he knows that the public, you know, is like, oh, it's Kojima, he's bizarre in like what he does. So I think he's just basically playing off of that, and is like, yeah, you want to see bizarre, I'll give you bizarre, you know, so... yeah, my first impressions of the game was, what the freak's going on?
Yeah, that's gonna come from the first, like, half hour of the game. You're like, huh?
Yeah.
But then once it starts telling its story throughout the game, it is... I say that even if you don't know the story, you could play through this and come to grips with what they're talking about, because it's so much better told this time.
It is.
The dialogue is much more comprehensible. They're not throwing these crazy, like, long, lavish, just, you know, crazy explanations of what's going on. They actually explain it in terms that make sense.
Yeah.
Everything fits together. It is like the Star Wars checklist is kind of what I compared it to, where they were going through and just nailing everything. Who are the Patriots? Well, we're going to tell you, and we're going to explain why they are. You know, what is La-La-La-La-La? Well, here it is. We're going to tell you. You figure it out. Where did Snake and Liquid come from? Well, here it is. We're going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know, and they go through and they do all of that stuff, and it's so well told, and much like all the other Metal Gear games, the acting is so good. It's so good that it just draws you in. And every act, Kojima is famous for making sure you remember that you're in a video game. Like with the whole, you know, switch to disc 2 in the first Metal Gear Solid, where Otacon told you it was time to switch discs, or, you know, when he told you, it's the start button on the controller, you know. When they say that kind of stuff in the game, it kind of reminds you, and there's a lot of that in this game. A lot of it. In fact, towards the end of the game, from the end of Act 3 through the end of the game, there is a serious amount of fan service in there. Just little things that most people that haven't played the first game, second game, third game, are going to get. But the people who have played them are going to look at them and go, now that's nice. That's sweet. That takes me back. And they'll make you chuckle. They'll make you smile. And it is just for the fans. I mean, there are so many parts in the game where you're like, oh, I remember that. Or, oh, that's sweet how they did that.
Yeah.
And then there's so many new things that he does that are just... they're just awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's the game is it's incredible in its design and storytelling. You know, I was thinking the sequence where Sonny is frying the eggs. Here we go back on the eggs thing.
You're obsessed with the eggs.
No, here's the thing. She's saying numbers, right?
Yeah.
And it almost seems like they're random. I'm thinking, here's a theory of mine. I'm thinking that the numbers that she's saying is some kind of viral marketing.
You are such a conspiracy theorist, you know that?
Yes, I am.
I don't even remember the numbers she said.
I don't either.
I just kind of...
I just have to...
But here's the thing, I will tell you this, she doesn't always sing the numbers when she's cooking eggs.
Oh, okay.
So...
Well, maybe the numbers is some kind of passcode or something. Yeah. So, to all you geeks out there,
Once you go binary, it's not even binary because it's not just zeros and ones.
Yeah, go out there and record the numbers that Sonny says and see what you can come up with.
Maybe if you use each number to the letter of the alphabet. Of course, there's zeros in it though. So what's zero?
I don't know. Yeah, a space.
Who's zero? What zero?
Zero is space.
Zero is the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
I yes. just confused you, didn't I?
Yeah, now it's turning into Metal Gear Solid 2.
Hey, eventually what I just said will make sense to you.
Oh. In the sequel.
When I say zero is the beginning, that will make sense to you eventually. And anybody who's beat it out there caught it. So.
I caught it.
But that doesn't spoil anything.
Not at all.
I just say zero is the beginning.
Sweet. But, let me think. What else? Okay. Now that we've talked about the intro.
Let's talk about the ending. So.
What do you think when so-and-so died? Well, anyway. The opening battle sequence was
You're talking about when he's coming in on the truck?
Yes.
Okay.
That scene was so intense.
It was very intense.
It reminded me of like seeing Saving Private Ryan, like the movie, but almost like a game form, because there's like so much gunfire. I had the volume turned really high on my television set, I was literally like ducking and rolling out of the way because I was thinking that artillery shells were freaking being shot into my. Into my room.
Speaking of the sound, I have to say this, that after I played it during the regular hours of the day, Thursday, I started playing it into the late night, and you know, my wife was in bed, so I didn't want to wake her up, so I had to turn it down. What I did was eventually I went and got a set of headphones.
Yeah.
And oh my God, the sound is incredible. I kept taking my headphones off when I was in a certain level because I thought there was stuff in the house. Because the sound is so dynamic and well done that I'm like, what is that noise? And as soon as I take them off, it wasn't there. I'm like, oh, it's in the game. But the sound is just incredible.
It's probably some of the best sound I've ever heard in a video game.
I would recommend if you have a good set of headphones to play it with the headphones on just because it's so dynamic. It's just so well done.
Well, if you have surround sound, I'm sure you get the same feeling.
Well, it just depends. You still have outside. See, that's what I love about headphones is there's no outside sound. You're completely engulfed in the sound with the headphones on.
I mean, the sound in that game was incredible. And it's like the action in the very beginning of the game is so intense that right when you think you've become numb to the action, then they throw something else at you. You know, the cutscene?
A cutscene?
Yeah, a cutscene where the geckos.
The geckos?
Yeah, the geckos.
The Geico gecko?
No.
That's good viral marketing.
Yeah, basically the miniature Metal Gears.
Those things are freaky.
They are freaky.
Because when you shoot them in the leg, they bleed. Why do they bleed?
Because they're probably biological robots.
I know, that's creepy to me, though.
That is creepy.
That's very creepy to me.
And they act like animals.
Yes,
they have actual mannerisms.
Speaking of other things that are very cool, Octo Camo is badass.
Dude, holy crap. Octo Camo is like the best thing since sliced bread,
man. Did you
man.
Play it on auto or manual?
It's probably on auto.
Like when you lean up against something, if you sit there for a second, does it automatically change?
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's on auto. You know, if you shake the controller after you move away from it, he'll go back to the normal black.
Yeah, I tried that.
That's another thing I loved is there's no six-axis bullshit in this game. There's no bullshit with it. It's used to shake off your Octo Camo, which is awesome.
An Octo Camo, I will go up to walls. Just go up to walls just to see what Snake looks like when he blends in with the environment.
Oh, I do too. I think it's cool.
And I crawl along the ground. I'm like, whoa, look at this.
It's so much better than that convoluted camouflage system from MGS3.
Yeah.
It's so much better than that. Because this time you don't have to switch constantly. You can just lay down in it and it changes with you. It conforms to you. And that really helps in Act 4.
Oh,
just throwing that out there.
Dun, 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 dun. Spoiler alert. Be sure to use your Octo Camo to your advantage. Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, Octo Camo is freaking awesome.
I didn't think that I was going to use it as much. I didn't think it was going to be as cool.
Yeah.
But I really like using it.
Dude, I want Octo Camo in every game now.
You know what else is cool? Did you notice that, like, if you use the Octo Camo and then you go into a cutscene, he still has that brand of Octo Camo?
Yes.
I was in a cutscene once and I had this, like, crazy design going on. I think it was from laying on the ground.
And you're like, somebody should have been like, Snake.
Why do you look like a Great Wall?
Yeah. Snake, why you look like a brick wall? Ugh.
Yeah, but, Octo Camo is awesome. That's the last thing to talk about without spoiling anything is visuals. I throughout the entire time I played that game, every time they would show a close-up of somebody's face, I was just in awe.
Yes.
Of the detail that was
You're
in
like,
their face.
Oh, man, that
I mean,
is
just
so
like
awesome.
Every character, like even the like the 5 o'clock shadow on their face, just it's incredible.
Yeah.
Visually it's incredible. I don't know. I'd read a few places that were like, you know, once you actually play it, it's not as impressive as you think it is. I'm like, where? The only thing that really bothered me was his rolling animation, how stiff it still felt. It still felt like his rolling animation. But other than that, everything was just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, all the rest of the animations are great. The facial animations are incredible. The textures are amazing. Like, everything is unique. Every environment is unique.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. It's like every time you go into, like, a house or a structure, it looks like someone has been there and lived in there.
I'll tell you another thing, and I can't talk too much about it, but there's weather in the game later on, and the detail that happens in this weather is just incredible. Just incredible. I'm not going to say what kind of weather it is, because that's what sucks, is you can't really talk about certain things, because people don't know. The trailers that you've seen have all been Act 1. That's all I will say. Most of them.
Yeah.
Most of it's been Act 1. There are very different kind of environments throughout the game, and there's one, and the detail in this weather is sick. There's just one little detail that I can't talk about, which is just, it blew my mind every time I saw it, because it changed every time I saw it.
Man.
And it was very cool.
But, in terms of graphics, it's the best-looking game I've ever played.
I thought it would take a while to top Uncharted.
Yeah.
I really did. And it did top Uncharted.
Yeah, I mean, the game, oh, man, it looks like high-quality CGI.
It does.
It
does.
Especially
the cutscenes, which are just ridiculous.
And the environments are so exquisitely done. Like, it's sick.
You haven't even seen them all yet. You have
no
idea what you're missing yet.
Yeah, no, but I mean the Middle East area is probably the best looking quote unquote Middle East area graphics I've ever seen in a video game.
It was very beautiful.
Yeah, I mean between the like the dust, the mugginess, it looks muggy, and
there's a lot of attention to detail.
Oh yeah, every once in a while you see like a piece of trash like just blowing across the road and everything, and I'm like, man. And
well, there's like this a small little thing that I noticed, like how detailed the textures are. Like when you see an up close shot of Snake after he gets his solid eye, you can read what it says, and it's in very, very tiny, tiny lettering.
Yeah,
I mean that's how clean it is. That's another thing I'd say about the game. The first like hour before you get your equipment feels kind of eh. Until you get in there and you get your solid eye and you get all that stuff from Otacon and you get the Mark II and you get all that stuff. Up until that point, it feels kind of limited.
So tell me, what do you think of the Mark II, the Metal Gear, the little robot that Otacon gives you?
Honestly, I didn't use it that much.
You see, I didn't use it that much either.
It just, I don't know what it is about it. I just, I would use it for scouting sometimes if I was trying to sneak.
Yeah.
But other than that, I preferred my solid eye. Because it marked everything on my screen. Like, it would show me the items that were laying on the ground. It would show me locations of enemies. It would let me have the radar. You know, there were so many things that it did. And the Mark II was just, I don't know. I mean, it was a neat novelty, but I could see myself playing through the entire game and never use it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it also offers another avenue to replayability.
Yes. Yes, you could play through the game using that and be a lot more stealthy.
Yeah, and you'd get a much different type of game if you rely on it quite often.
Which, by the way, this is another cool thing. When you beat the game, it does give you, like, little medals.
Like, sweet.
On what kind of player you were.
Huh.
So.
But, the little robot thing is pretty cool. Not quite as cool as the Solid Eye, but...
Solid Eye is bad. I love
the Solid Eye is awesome. Like, switch between night vision, binocular vision, and then the informational vision where you just look at a troop. Oh man, we haven't even discussed the Rebel Army versus the PMC Army.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat little aspect. But then again, you don't even have to deal with it. It's nice because if you take one side, you know, then the other ones help you out.
The thing is, that is also another avenue of replayability.
Oh, yeah, you could do it different ways, and you'll get different items and stuff.
See, in my playthrough that I'm doing right now, I'm siding with the Rebel armies, which is like the domestic army of like whatever area you're in. So I'm basically fighting mostly the PMCs, which stands for Private Military Contractors, which is amazing. Freaking awesome concept in the game, by the way. And there was this one part in the game where I was running through the streets. I was running because they already spotted me, and they were firing upon me, and I was like, holy crap. So I ran around a building, and I lost them, right? And I was like, man, there's a lot of these Rebel Army troops in this area, and if I go out there, they're all going to kill me, you know? Or at least come close. But then I noticed that this helicopter, this attack chopper, was going by the village, and it was it'll make a round, it'll shoot a missile, and then it would go around, and when it would come back, it would start using this Gatlin gun, and then it would use missile and Gatlin gun over and over again. But it was this helicopter, it was doing rounds, and it was attacking the Rebel army. So I thought, I picked up a rocket launcher not too long ago, so I wonder if these Rebel dudes will think I'm all right if I down the helicopter. So I aimed at the helicopter, and first time I shot it, I missed. And then I shot it again, and I destroyed the helicopter. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we'll cover you. Come on, yeah. And they're all on my side now, and I'm like, that's awesome. I destroyed the helicopter with a rocket launcher, and then I'm like their hero. So I thought that was a really cool concept, and when I play through it again, I'm probably going to side with the PMCs, and I'm sure it'll be a different gameplay experience that way.
If you side with the PMCs, do you still have to fight the geckos?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Do they still come after you?
I don't know. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
That would be the luck of that one.
But the whole concept of essentially when you fight soldiers in the game, you're basically choosing who's your friend and who is your enemy on the battlefield. And the thing is, with Metal Gear Solid, you know, most of the other games, you know, you kind of play through And then you basically, if you want to play through it again, you up the difficulty and you become more stealth. Whereas in this game, you can either up the difficulty or you could exclusively use the Mach 2 robot, or you could use you could use or not use OctoCam. You could the solid eye comes into play, the different ways to use the solid eye, and then siding with either rebel armies or PMC armies. There is just so much variety to gameplay to where you could play it probably several times and get a considerable different type of gameplay each time.
Not to mention all the hidden Easter eggs floating throughout the game.
Yeah.
There's plenty of those.
Easter eggs, man, this game's awesome. And I did not even delve into online. I don't think either of us did.
No, I haven't got my Konami ID yet.
Yeah.
So, which is a giant pain in my ass.
It is.
But, even if it didn't have it, still amazing.
Yeah.
And I have to say one thing, a monkey that smokes is just great.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. And I think that will wrap up this week's talk about Metal Gear.
This week's Metal Gear. So, part one of Metal Gear discussion.
So since Wombat is not here, yeah, we have no news announcer voice. So
that's
will
depressing.
That will make like two or three people happy. Some people don't like it.
Yeah, those two or three people out there. Yeah, well, this episode's for you, I guess.
This bud's for you.
This bud's for you.
We don't have a whole lot of news this week at all.
Yeah, it's kind of low-key. Like, probably the biggest news is Metal Gear Solid 4 came out.
I don't know. It depends.
Dun, dun, dun,
First, most of the stuff I've got is Rock Band Guitar Hero news. Those games just continue to get...
Dude, we talk about those games, like, almost every week.
Well, that's because we should play those games every week.
Like Lost World. Not Lost World. Lost. What do you guys talk about?
What?
Stupid RPG. Lost. Whatever.
Two Worlds?
Two Worlds.
How has it got lost?
Lost World, Two Worlds.
Lost
who gives
World?
A shit?
Lost Worlds. Yes. If I make a video game RPG, that's what I'm going to call it. Lost Worlds.
All right. This week's Rock Band DLC. There are two tracks from Avenged Sevenfold. You're supposed to go woo. You know, it's like emo stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah!
A band called Crooked X.
Yes! Crooked. Yes.
And finally, to answer fan calls and my call as well, The Offspring is in DLC this week with their new single from their new album, which comes out the same day as the DLC.
Woot.
Awesome.
Is that a marketing ploy? Because it's brilliant.
That is a brilliant marketing ploy.
And then we've got the Pixies' full album coming next week, I believe. And then the next set of tracks, the accidental commercial reveal of Nirvana.
Interesting.
A new Nirvana track, Breed, which was an awesome track, and some new Nine Inch Nails.
Are you kidding me?
Nine Inch Nails, I used to be a fan of Nine Inch Nails, but ever since that new album came out, my respect has kind of dropped.
Well, if you haven't got Rock Band yet, and you have a PlayStation 2... Now is the time to buy Rock Band because it is temporarily on sale for $99.99, which is ridiculously low.
Considering that it's
$159 on the PS2 regularly.
Yeah.
It's a $60 discount. Guitar Hero 3. Ooh. Hell must have frozen over because there's 3 weeks, three DLC packs. This week's, though... Coldplay.
Coldplay.
I'm sorry. I don't like Coldplay.
You see, I like Coldplay.
You know how I know you're gay?
Because you like Coldplay, right?
Yeah. The 40-year-old virgin joke. Yeah.
I think it's a funny joke.
It is a funny joke.
It is. And it probably has a little bit of truth to it. But anyway.
What?
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
We have to hit the rewind button on that one.
Now, what were you going to say about Coldplay?
Oh, I like Coldplay.
All right.
But
if you had Guitar Hero 3.
I do not see Coldplay as Guitar Hero material.
Well, I can't see them as band material, but that's just my opinion.
Snap.
Oh.
Eat that, whatever his name is.
I could see them as a little bit of piano and a little bit of tambourine material.
Yes, that's what Guitar Hero needs, is a tambourine attachment.
Rock Band needs more cowbell.
Needs more cowbell.
All right, next up, this is all about you, Gambus.
Oh, yeah.
The Xbox 360 RPG conference was this past week,
The conference of RPGs.
You know, I got into a thread and defended this, and I'm not even an RPG guy. Where were you? I got into a thread. There was a thread that came up in the forums that was talking about PS3 is letting the ball drop. They're not getting the RPGs. 360 is getting all the RPGs.
Yeah.
And all the PS3 guys came in there and basically shot down every 360 RPG, saying that Final Fantasy 13 would be better than all of them.
Mm.
And I had to go in there and defend everything that you RPG guys fight for, you true RPG guys fight for, that you can play great games on any system.
Yes.
And I didn't have you there to back me up. I felt like you left a man
behind.
I don't know if I
saw that thread.
You left a man behind. But anyway, the RPG conference this week, not only did they announce Tales of Vesperia, I believe is what it's called, from Namco Bandai Games, Square announced a bunch of new stuff, including Infinite Undiscovery, The Last Remnant, and Star Ocean, The Last Hope. Now, the rumors floating around, that all of these are time-exclusive, right?
Yeah.
Did I read this right? And isn't Star Ocean rumored to be totally exclusive?
I don't know.
I mean, this is just what I'm reading around. I don't keep up on RPGs. I don't care which systems they come for.
Yeah.
But if Xbox somehow managed to secure Star Ocean, where was Sony?
Yeah.
I mean, this franchise has got a huge, like, underground fan base. And how they could think it's not important. I mean, it's not a victory for anybody. It's a loss for PS3 gamers. And the only thing that bothers me is that they'll, in turn, turn around and say, oh, that game was never good anyway. Which is why I made the comment when Final Fantasy does finally come to the 360. And notice I didn't say if. I said when.
Uh-huh.
That I want to see how many people say it was never a good game to begin with. And I hate that mentality. A game has been good. You know, Devil May Cry was still good when it went to the 360.
But we're talking about Final Fantasy.
Shut up.
Okay.
Hey, I'm not a fan, but I'm just making a point. I'm the one that said Final Fantasy should have been erased. Hello? I'm just making a point.
Don't look at me.
But I have to ask you, out of all those announcements, you're excited, right?
Yes, I am.
What's your most excited one?
I like Star Ocean.
I think Star Ocean's got a lot of fan base to it.
Yeah, it does.
I saw the video of it. It looked like a Japanese RPG to me, but...
Yeah, it does. Exactly. What the heck is happening, Sony, you know? I'll tell you what's happening. They're putting all their faith into Metal Gear Solid 4 and Final Fantasy 13. And Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, so, I mean, granted, Metal Gear Solid 4 is like one of the best games I've ever played. I mean, it really is. But at the same time, I would almost say that MGS4 is so good that it almost makes everything else kind of bad.
Yeah, no.
He wholeheartedly respectfully disagrees with you, apparently.
You can't have a system and just have one game.
Yeah.
So they can't be resting just on that and Final Fantasy. So whatever they're doing, they're dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Just when they were picking up steam. That's a big, big blow, I would think. But what do I know? It's an RPG. I don't really
care. I'm just wondering if Final Fantasy 13, if the graphics are going to be approaching MGS4 quality.
I'm sure they're up there.
That'd be interesting.
I don't know. All I know is that Metal Gear Solid 4 was an amazing game.
Yeah.
And Sony recently announced the delay of Infamous, which hurts me. Hurts me a little bit inside.
Infamous, huh?
I was really looking forward to that game. Resistance 2, got to see the first gameplay footage of that this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Looks really good.
Really?
You know, the 60-player multiplayer thing is a neat idea, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, we're bragging.
We have too many. That's almost too many players for me, but 8-player co-op is the bomb. I really think that's awesome. So Resistance 2 is very hyped up for me. But I try to think, and I'm hoping at E3 we see more, but Infamous was the other big game that I was excited about, and it's pretty much probably not going to be until next year. So,
and on top of that, the other open ended game
Prototype
isn't that delayed
until next year?
See, that sucks, man.
So that'll be those two big games next year. I mean, there's no doubt that there's plenty coming out this year. There's plenty of stuff coming out for both consoles. I mean, between, you know, the new Guitar Hero, Gears of War 2 is coming out, new Call of Duty won't be out. Call of Duty won't be out until next year.
Darn. We can't go back to World War II until next year.
You know, just because it's World War II does not mean it's going to be a bad game.
I'm tired of that.
I'm tired of a lot of things, but that doesn't mean they're bad games.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game. I'm just saying I'm not going to play it because it's World War II. I don't want to go back to it. Why go forward and take a step back?
Yeah.
So you don't want to play Resistance either?
I didn't play the first one.
But it doesn't excite
you? And I
don't
think I'm going to have my PS3.
But it doesn't excite you to play Resistance?
I can't know until I've played it. And I won't probably have my system back.
That takes place, you know, around
the same
time.
I know it takes place in the same, but it's a different twist on it.
You just like space aliens. Just admit it.
I like space aliens.
Just admit it. You're a fanboy of space aliens.
I like space aliens, too.
Fanboy of space aliens. Right.
You're such an American.
Don't call me that.
Don't call me that. That's an insult.
All right. The next thing we're going to talk about, and we're just going to breeze over this because it's always too much fuel for the fire.
Yes.
It's NPD numbers.
Yes.
It was a good month. Not the best month. With bottom of the barrel was PlayStation Portable. For some reason, the PS2 was not on this list. I'd be kind of curious to see what PS2 sold. I don't think I have PS2 numbers. No, I do not have PS2 numbers. PlayStation Portable was at the bottom with 182,000. 360 was a little bit above it at 186. PlayStation 3 was above that at 208. The DS continues to steamroll at 452,000. And the Wii dropped from 700,000 to 675,000. So,
wow, that's, you know, still doing
over
really good.
Still over half a million a month. I'm waiting on the month. I'm waiting on this month where they have enough systems on the market that it sells a million in 1 month. I see this happening in November. October, November.
You heard it here. Let's see if your prediction comes true.
I see a million. If they can get a million systems in the market, because you know they're going to bump up for holiday.
Yeah.
I would say October, November, if there are a million consoles in the country, they will sell. And this will be the first time you've ever seen a million sales of a console in a month. At least I think it'd be the first time.
Probably would be.
But that would be, that'd be pretty freaking awesome.
And
we got NPD numbers. A million Wii's sold.
And you know something? If that happens, by Christmas time, probably about 50% of the American households will probably have a Wii.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Now we run down the software sales, which is always the part that I like to look at because I'm interested in what people are buying. And we call it Wii domination. But the number one game is not on the Wii. The number one game, once again, Grand Theft Auto 4 for the Xbox 360 at 871,000 units. Number two on the list, it's called Redemption, my friend. Mario Kart Wii sold 787,000 units.
Wow.
So if you thought its first month was disappointing, because it should have sold more, it sold plenty. Number three, do you feel like being fit? A little Wii Fit.
Oh.
At 687,000 units at $90 a pop.
Yeah.
An unproven franchise. Just shows you the dominance of the Wii.
It'll sell more because you can't find it, just like the Wii.
Yeah. Next up on the list, surprisingly, at only about half of the 360 sales is the PS3 version of Grand Theft Auto at 440,000. I'm amazed at that. I really am. I really thought they would be closer.
Yeah.
I really did. And now the 360 has, like, just a lot more. I guess it's the user base. And so, but at the same time, people go, well, GTA was a PlayStation 3 franchise, but I'm like, it looks like a lot of PlayStation 3 owners bought a 360, or PlayStation 2 owners.
Yeah.
Bought a 360, because there's a lot of people buying Grand Theft Auto. Wii Play's on there again. I don't think it's ever left. 294. Smash Brothers Brawl is in there again at 171. Like I said, this is a Wii-dominated list.
Yeah.
Here's one that'll make you go, hmm. This is a thing that makes you go, hmm. Iron Man.
What?
Hold on, I'm not done. For the PS2.
What?
Sold 130,000 units.
What?
This is why companies still make PS2 versions. This right here is exactly why.
Ow.
Then Guitar Hero 3, still on there for the Wii, 116,000 units. And the last two are the two Pokemon Mysterious Dungeons, pretty much neck and neck.
I'm still stuck on Iron Man.
But as you can see, Nintendo domination.
Yep.
Nintendo,
that's true,
owns this freaking industry right now. It's sick.
And you don't hear, you know, Nintendo fanboys, you know, saying,
haha, eat that.
It's always 360 and Sony fanboys.
That's because they're the ones
you don't
arguing
hear
amongst
Nintendo
each other.
Well, still, Nintendo fanboys are
too busy trying to get their online to work.
Yeah, and they're also 50 years old and trying to get their wives to play Wii Fit.
Hey, you know what? Whatever. They're winning. So who
they
would
are,
have thought
they, are
that they would be winning
there
right at this
no
point?
There is no winner. You know who wins?
The me, fans.
The
yeah.
gamer.
You know who the winner is? The winner is us, the people that have all the systems.
The winner is me.
Yeah, the winner is me.
The winner is me.
I win.
You don't win because you loaned your PS3 out and you don't have a Wii.
Oh.
So that makes you a fanboy now.
What? How does that make me a fan? I was trying to help a brother out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're a good man, Mr. Wolverine,
I
tell you.
Anyway.
You're a good man. I don't say that to that many people that often, but yeah, you're a good man.
I appreciate that.
He so. Doesn't. He says that to everybody.
Yeah,
he says that to all the girls.
You're yeah. good.
You're a good man.
Yeah, I said that to one girl the other day, and she slapped me. But yeah.
Nice. All right, now we're going to go into the favorite part of the show. It's time to answer some questions. We had a few come up. You guys still need to get in there and pump this thing full. We need some good questions.
Otherwise, yeah. We're going to have to start to sing, and we don't want to sing.
Oh, don't tell them that. Then they'll ask questions.
No, they're going to... Oh, that's true. Never mind.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want to hear me sing.
Yeah,
yes,
do.
We do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Don't fear the reaper, man.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
All right, first question comes from Dr. Pirate.
Dr. Pirate. Arr.
His question is relatively simple. People keep comparing Core to Microsoft's Xbox Live without fueling any of the fights about who's right and wrong. Is this a fair comparison?
Yeah. Interesting.
No, it's not.
What do you mean it's not?
How
it's
is it a fair comparison?
Essentially almost the same thing, but half the price.
No, it's not. It's
and
not,
you're not paying for
the
online.
Same. You don't pay to play online.
But you get the content, though.
So?
Which
but you don't pay to play
you
online.
You need the content for Xbox Gold. You can't buy it in silver.
What, demos?
Not
that's
counting all,
that's
demos.
The only thing.
I think it's essentially the same thing. Essentially.
See, I don't.
They're taking a page out of Microsoft's book and making it their own.
No, because it's pay to play online.
I'm not. Oh God, I didn't say the whole fucking book.
He just meant a chapter.
They're taking
exactly.
A chapter. They're taking
the
a little bit of Microsoft Xbox Live service.
A little
and making
sliver,
it their own.
If you will, if Xbox Live was a slab of cheese.
And I think essentially what they're trying to do is gauge how many people are going to pay, and if it's enough people, they will start to implement paying to play online.
I don't think they will ever implement paying to play online.
You can't say that.
I don't see it happening because people have already got it for free.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
How often does somebody give you something for free and then turn around and try
if
to
if you're not making
it?
Money and you're losing sales, you have to do anything to get that money back.
I think Core is just a way for them to make money back.
Not much.
Hey, if a million people buy it.
Yeah, I don't see a million people buying it. But
I do. Yeah. I watched the reaction to it.
Yeah, was it good?
People love it.
Oh, that's funny.
People love Core.
Well, I think it's a way to test the waters. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I kind of think it's a way to test waters. I mean, granted, you're not paying for play to play, but you're basically paying for everything else that Xbox Live has.
You know that exclusivity is just like, you say that word and people have to have it.
Exclusive interviews, exclusive content. Oh, by the way, I was listening to another podcast.
Blasphemy.
Yes. And they were talking about Core, and get this. When you're in Core and you want to watch a video, you have to watch a 30-second commercial first.
Nice.
So it's like you bought either an episode of it, which is like, what, $4? where you buy a subscription, which is like $25, and you have to watch 30-second commercial almost every time you watch a video in Core.
I haven't toyed with Core, so I don't know much about it.
Yeah, you have to watch like a freaking Burger King commercial, like almost like every like everything that you do, you have to watch a Burger King commercial.
I wonder how accurate that is. I really do, because we, you know, Catastrophe is our new writer for the site, and we have to say welcome.
Welcome, Catastrophe.
To come to the site, and she wrote an article on Core. And she was, I mean, there were things wrong with it, that, like, this thing shouldn't be here, like the Burger King ads and stuff.
Yeah.
But overall, I really dug it. Like, it's a neat thing. It really is a neat thing. It is like an interactive magazine that you get once a month, that you can go through, and you do get exclusive stuff. What I worry about, and what, see, this is the thing, is we're making judgments on this. Uh-huh. There's been one issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's been one issue. We don't know what's...
I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying it's a little bit of a step in the Microsoft direction. If I had a PS3, maybe I'd play with it. But, I mean, I don't know yet. I can't play around with it.
I think just because it's so early, we can't really tell what's going to happen. What I don't want to happen is for it to become like Gold Service, where these guys that have Core get this demo first. I don't like that idea. I don't mind the idea of giving...
Well, isn't that the point of having this service right now?
No, it's more like a magazine. It's like...
So it's like the official PlayStation magazine.
Yeah, kind of. But it's a lot cheaper than the official PlayStation magazine.
I was like, what, 10 bucks an issue?
Yeah, that's like a 10 bucks an issue. But if you can get into betas, and let's say like every now and then they give you like a free arcade game or something, or, you know, they give you something for being a member, but don't make it an exclusive club where, like, I hate that about Gold. I think if you have Xbox Live, you should be able to download the demos anytime you want.
Yeah,
whether
me too.
You have Gold or Silver. Gold, for me, is paying for the integration of online, to play with your friends, to have the friends list, to do all that stuff. Even though you have the friends list without online, what good is a friends list without online?
Yeah.
You're not inviting people into games, because guess what? You're not playing games.
You're basically just messaging each other.
It's a glorified messenger service, which that's free. But when you... when you integrate that with playing games online, and I can hop in a game and say, hey, pull up my friends list and invite somebody in. If Sony had that, I'd pay for it. I would.
You know. Well, this might be the testing waters for it. I mean, we'll see.
We're supposed to have in-game XMB at this point.
They canceled that. I don't think it comes out until... Oh, God, what I read. I forget when they said. It was supposed to be, what, this month, right?
Well, it's the new update. It's
right, but it's not
the
supposed
new update.
It was supposed to be in June, but I don't think it's in June anymore.
Well, they didn't say a date. People just assumed a date.
Oh.
There was no official date, but the testers, official. The guys that are on the PlayStation internal network, do have it. It is the next update.
I guess they're just fixing the bugs.
Yeah. So it is the next update.
Well,
so,
we'll see. When I get my PS3 back, maybe in...
It should be there by then when you get it back in November.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. His second part of his question is, on Core specifically, do you think it's a good implementation of a console subscription-based service? If I have to admit one thing, whether I like it or not, it's the first of its kind, excluding PCs. I guess that's somewhat true, because it's the first kind of like magazine, which, from what I've heard, it's the stuff on it's good. Like, they have developer interviews, and you get to see exclusive footage of games, and... Yeah, you get into things like the SOCOM beta. And if you bought a year subscription, you get a free copy of Calling All Cars, which that was almost enough for me to subscribe to it.
Yeah, thing is, I'll probably end up subscribing to it as soon as Sony puts out the cards.
I think they'd make a lot more on their online service if they put those freaking cards out.
Yeah, those cards were supposed to come out, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Well, eventually everything that you get in Core, you get without Core, right? Yeah, they said that.
What's that?
Like the exclusivity of it. It's only so long, or is it always exclusive? If
I haven't heard that yet.
I'm guessing it's going to be always exclusive.
Always exclusive.
And by the time they would make it free, who would want the news that was on it?
I guess. Not really the news, but I mean like the demos.
Demos eventually would have to go.
That's what I'm thinking.
But it just depends. Like with Gold, they're like a week or something like that. So, I don't know. All right, next question comes from Shot Caller. It says, thanks for the feedback on my last post. My question is, if you could make a game, what would be in it? But on this game, you have total and complete control. You have unlimited resources. You can make every choice from the company. To the crew, pick to do the game. Who would you pick to do the game? This is your greatest masterpiece, so think hard.
I've already gave thought to this. I read the question, and
he did research.
Yeah, I did some research and soul searching. And hey, do you guys want to go first?
No, you go right ahead.
No, because
I really don't know.
Have
so
an answer.
You don't know? Okay, no. Okay. My game, my masterpiece of a game. I would probably have to, in terms of development company. I would merge Kojima Productions with Rockstar. So I'll have the open world people and then the condensed, solidified, polished people working together. And I will create a game. I'll have Mr. Kojima being like my second in command. I'll be like,
oh,
hey.
Wow.
I'll be like, hey, Kojima.
Go get me coffee.
No, I wouldn't be like that. I'd be like, so what do you think should be add your little spice to this, you know? So I would have Kojima and Rockstar working together, and I would have a budget of like I would go all out, man. I'd be like
$5.
I'd be like this game
and 85 cents.
I'll be like this game will be the first game that actually succeeds the budget of the most expensive movie ever made. So I'll be throwing
get that money from?
I know. Why would you need all that money?
Because
this is what's wrong with the economy. You're wasting money on games.
Yeah, yeah. But this is my masterpiece. So here it is. It's a game where you are an immortal. You can live. Basically, you're almost like you start the game off as a caveman in a barren wasteland, and there's like a couple tribes of people, and it's basically like Grand Theft Auto, but in caveman days, right?
So you can hijack a brontosaurus,
pretty much. And there's like dinosaurs and stuff. It's freaking crazy. It's like
so you're creating a life simulator, kind of like BC was supposed
to
be.
Yeah, and then as time goes on, they discover fire.
So it's civilization.
And as time goes on, they discover
the wheel.
Metals.
The wheel.
So it's like Age of Empires.
Yes, and then it keeps on going, and then you develop swords, armory. You know, you battle in ancient battles like the Mongols and China. And then you could go anywhere in the world, you know, the Middle East, you know, you can witness like historical events.
There couldn't be a boss of Genghis Khan, but it'd be Gambus Khan.
Gambus Khan
put himself
Genghis
in the game.
Khan. Yeah,
that's when he gets to the year 2008, and Gambus Khan has become the world conglomerate leader of the video game revolution, and you got to defeat him.
Yeah, and then it goes on to where they discover gunpowder, and you can witness battles with Napoleon. You can go through World War One. You can go through the Civil War, and you don't even have to go to
but not in that order.
Yeah, not in that order. And the thing is, the beauty of it is you don't even have to participate in historical battles. You could be on the other side of the world. In a calm, like non-conflicted environment, while this conflict is going on the other side of the globe, if you choose to play it this way, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, you know, Korean War, all the way up to freaking Star Trek, spaceships. Freaking, and then you play literally to the end of time, and I'm estimating it'll be probably about a good several hundred hour playthrough.
I would think.
Well, if you had Kojima working with you, it'd probably be about 400 or 500 hours, because you know half of that would be cutscenes.
Yeah,
70% cutscenes.
70%.
And the cutscenes will be like Mass Effect, where there'll be dialogue trees. And thing is, you'll be able to create your character just like in Mass Effect. So it'll have the core gameplay mechanic of Mass Effect, cutscene quality of Metal Gear Solid 4, open worldness like Grand Theft Auto 4, and then the whole historical and time, shifting environment of like a Civilization game, all wrapped up into one freaking game, and it'll be on like 10 Blu-rays.
What's it called?
It's called
the best damn game.
The best ever. Freaking game ever.
You should just call it I.
Dude, that's genius. That is genius. I mean, a giant I.
No, like I,
like the letter I.
Yeah, the letter I.
Just a giant I.
But it takes up almost the whole
box.
The whole box, and it'll look like it's like a part of it will be like kind of like marble, and then as it goes along, it'll look like metal.
And then the last piece of it will be a spaceship.
Yeah,
multiplayer.
Now you see, it doesn't need multiplayer.
You know, I did not give thought to a multiplayer version because since it's already a good several hundred hour game, adding multiplayer to
it. When you get done, you're like, fuck that, I ain't playing it again.
Yeah, it just might break the game if you add multiplayer
right
to it.
Right in half.
The sequel's called You.
You.
Yeah,
that's the multiplayer version? You?
That's the
No, that's called Us.
Oh, okay.
That's the expansion pack.
Expansion pack.
All right. Next question comes from Tweest.
Tweest.
He says he loves the show. If you had the ability to jump into the television while playing a video game, what game would you jump into and why?
Is this freaking Tron or something? Freaking laser beam. I'm in the game. I don't know. There's not really many games I would want to be inside of, you know, because if you're in like a Mario Brothers game, you're always being...
I would feel like I was really tripping on shrooms, man.
Yeah, and you're being attacked by these evil Koopa...
And giant chain chomps.
Yeah.
What the hell did I just jump into?
Yeah, man. And then if you're in a fighting game, you run the risk of getting your butt kicked by someone, you know. There's not too many games that I would want to be in, you
know.
I'm
trying to think if there was a game I would like to jump into... I would like to jump into, like a rallycross. That'd be kind
of
fun.
Yeah, that would be.
Of course,
be.
I'd probably kill myself.
Man.
Or a jet moto. Man, if I jumped into jet moto, I would break so many bones.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Flat
out.
Yeah, you did. Pain.
Pain. I'm not jumping into pain.
Geometry Wars. Oh, what the heck? I'm a dot shooting other things.
That's an interesting question. I guess the question back would be, if I jump into the game, do I have, like, powers that are in the game? Do I get to be, like, the character? Because if that was true, I'd go to, like, Crackdown.
Yeah, Crackdown would be a fun game to
jump into.
I'd
just run around throwing cars, dude.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
punching
I got
someone across the whole map.
I got a game I wouldn't mind jumping into.
You got that shit-eating grin on your face. I'm almost afraid.
Yeah. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Dead or Alive, beach volleyball.
Oh, for God's sake.
But you would... Okay, I'm not...
You would jump in there and get real bored.
Yeah, that's true.
Because all you do is collect swimsuits.
Yeah,
you can't do anything else but that, so...
Yeah.
And you don't speak Japanese, so you have no idea what they're saying.
They'd be like, ah!
Alright. Next question comes from Lieutenant Renji. Hello, lads. Two questions today. Gambus, how do you react... How do people react if you toss them out because you're security? Do they take you seriously? Because you sound so nice and gentle. I'd think you were just fucking around with me.
Well, one of the aspects of the job that I actually don't like is if I have to confront someone. I basically go into a different mode of my psyche. And I don't really sound like I'm a nice guy. I come off as an asshole when I'm at work. Like if someone's doing something wrong, I'll be like, "Hey, you can't do that." And they'll be like, "But I," and I'm like, "No, I'm sorry. I'm cold."
Cold-blooded.
When I'm at work, and if I have to confront someone, I'm cold. I'm impersonal. I'm stone cold.
Steve Austin?
Yeah. Stone cold! Ah! And thing is, that's one that...
And
I don't really like acting like that at work. I like being cool, you know, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm goofy and silly acting when I'm not at work is because when I'm at work, I kind of have to put on a front of, you know, being, you know, without emotion almost. So, and it kind of feels like a part of me dies when I make someone mad at me.
He cries on the inside.
Yeah, I'm crying on the inside. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Second part of his question is, the most stupid question of the year, without a doubt. Is Metal Gear Solid 4 any good?
No.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Oh.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yes, it's very, very good.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the series, you will adore it. It is fantabulous.
You'll cuddle with it at night.
You will. You will hold it in your arms.
Yeah, I was doing that last night.
You're sicko. All right. Next question, we're only going to be able to answer one half because Wombat's not here. So we'll save that for him. This comes from DeHalo Fiend. It says, what's up? Joining the podcast, giving mad respect to everyone on the podcast.
Thank you.
What inspired the crew to become game reviewers?
Because
we like to force our opinions on everybody else in the world.
I don't know. It's kind of just, hey, you want to review this? No.
I actually started because I was like, I guess I just played so much crap that I just wanted to know if people want to know what I thought of it.
Remember back in high school when we had that idea for a newsletter?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
That we never actually made.
Well,
that's
because I wasn't in high school with you.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go to emo high.
Shut up.
9021 emo.
Emo.
God damn it.
I don't know. I was just my love of games and wanting to express in another form that other people might enjoy because it seemed like people were always asking me in real life what I thought of a game.
Yeah.
So I guess people wanted to know. So I figured I'd see if the rest of the world wanted to know. I guess some of them do. Some of them don't. But, you know.
Well, some of them will give you shit for, too.
Well, what can I say?
I remember when I was in elementary and junior high, I would have kids come up to me and actually ask me for tips on certain games.
Were you the cheat master?
Pretty much. Like, how do I get past the boss on level 7? And I'll be like, dude, you're such a noob.
The second question is Gambus specific. It says, if you can choose two spells from any Final Fantasy game, what would it be? And you can't choose summon spells.
Two spells from a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Hmm.
From any
Final Fantasy game.
Can I choose one?
What would you choose, Wolverine?
A spell to make the game good.
Oh, snap. Let me see. What two spells would I use? I would probably use Bolt 3, which is the most powerful version of the lightning spell, because lightning spells are just awesome.
They're the bomb.
And I would also use...
Yeah, you'll get that later, too. Oh, see, I'm just spilling all the little things.
And I would also use the spell called Haste, which would speed up my timing so I could throw lightning again.
Oh, I thought
sooner.
It said speed up the game because it could get done quicker.
Man, shut up. Jeez.
Jeez Louise.
Jeez Louise. Oh, my God.
All right. This is the last question in the Cue the Crew thread.
What?
So you need to go fill this thing back out.
Yeah.
This is the last question we have for
ASAP. Those out you ASAP, fill out some more questions.
And what a better way to end it than a Metal Gear Solid question.
Wow.
All right, this comes from BioMajor09.
Cool name.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, first time questioner. I tried to play Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence last year, but the controls were just too impossible for me. I hear they have solved a lot of the control problems with 4. So my question is, if someone hasn't played any Metal Gear game before, and I do not want to go back and play the Essential Collection, would I be able to pick up Metal Gear 4 and understand what the hell is going on, or is it a total lost cause?
Well, this coming from the guy who didn't play it, but watched it, I think he can.
I think here's the thing with Metal Gear Solid 4. You can pick it up, you can play it, you can grasp what is going on. What you're going to miss out on is all of the nods to the older characters. You're not going to understand the importance of some of the characters. Like, you will totally not appreciate Raiden for what he is unless you played 2. You won't appreciate what he is in 4 if you didn't play 2. You won't appreciate the characters that reappear from the first game as much as you would had you played the first game, but you will still understand what they're doing in 4. The thing about 4 is it does a great job of going back and showing you what happened, or explaining a little bit about what happened in the first couple chapters of the games. So, yes, you can pick it up and play it and be good. And trust me, the controls in 3, 2, and 1 now are so archaic compared to 4.
Yeah.
I have a hard time playing those games now, and I have beaten all of them multiple times. So, yes. Even if you've never played the series, you want to get into it now, Metal Gear Solid 4 is very noob-friendly.
Yeah.
So.
You'll just miss out on a lot of the fan service.
You'll miss out on a ton of the fan service. There will be parts in that game where you're like, this is dumb. Because you don't get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of in-jokes.
A lot of
in-jokes. Like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you know, like that part in part 2 or the part in part 1. Whereas if this is your first Metal Gear game, you won't get that. And you'll just be like, oh, this is weird.
This is fruity.
This is fruitcakes going on right here. But I will say that it is worth playing part 4, even if you've never played a Metal Gear game. Because it does so many things on so many levels that are superior to what has been done in recent games.
True that. And with that note, we're going to end the show. But before we go, there was one little piece of news that I forgot to mention.
One little piece of news that I forgot to mention.
How did you forget this?
I skipped over it because I wanted to do it last and I forgot to go back to it. But according to the OFLC, which is the licensing company of Capcom, they have registered the name Mega Man 9. And it is rumored to be coming to simultaneously to PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade.
Arcade.
I lost my country voice for a minute. It's coming to both of those, which would make it a 2D, old-school Mega Man?
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my God.
This is a rumor that what it's coming to, but the name has been officially licensed through Capcom's Australian company.
Yeah. Man.
So, at E3 in a month, will we see the debut of Mega Man 9?
Please. Please, Capcom. Let this not be a rumor. Let this not be just some kind of, you know, news to get news. Let this be real.
Make my dreams come true.
Yeah, because I know both myself and Zero Tolerance here, we want a new actual Mega Man game. Not Mega Man Battle Network. Not Mega Man X. X Series was good, granted. It was really good.
Until it got to 7.
Well, yeah. But we want a new game in the classic Mega Man continuity.
I want it too.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You just said I don't want it.
I was being sarcastic because he left me out again.
Everybody leaves you out. You're emo.
What? Oh, you were saying something, Wolverine? I didn't see you there. Were you hiding in the shadows?
You didn't see him wave his black flag?
I hate you both.
between the dark clothes and the black flag and you hiding in the corner in the shadow, I almost didn't see you. So
I'm in a fucking chair right in front of
dude,
you.
Dude, You got the stealth of Batman.
There you go.
What I was going to say, if it's okay with you, no. Since we're still... fuck, I'll say it anyway. We're struggling to find new content for your website. So maybe they can help the fans. What they want to see in your website.
What kind of ideas of content would you like to see people write? Then I will go with a whip and chain and make them write it.
Yes, at the ZT Game Domain, because that's his website.
And fill up the question thread, too.
Yes, first priority.
And then continue to keep your fingers crossed, your toes crossed, and your prayers answering for Killer Instinct and Mega Man 9 at E3 to make it the greatest E3 ever.
It would be the best E3 ever.
Only to us, though, not to the mainstreams. Mainstreams would be like, they didn't announce Grand Theft Auto 6. Madden 2012.
Oh, God. Yeah. They delayed Call of Duty.
No, there'll be a small group of geeks cheering when Killer Instinct and Mega Man 9 are announced.
Yeah. You will hear us when they announce it. You will hear the screams.
A week before the show, we're going to make predictions of what's going to happen at E3, and we'll see how close we can come.
So, tell me, Zero, when is E3?
July 15th, I think.
July 15th.
It's in mid-July.
It's about a month away.
About a month.
It's like almost exactly a month.
Almost to the day.
Almost to the day.
There you go. But that wraps up the show. Next week, the Wombat should be back. He's out of town this week. He'll be back next week. Maybe we'll have a special guest or two. And thank you.
My pleasure.
And we'll see. We'll see how everybody else's Metal Gear has been going. Maybe there'll be some other games, but...
Can I borrow someone's PS3?
Yeah. Somebody loaned him a PS3 because he was dumb and loaned his out.
Ouch, ooh, man.
That was cold.
All right, we're going to get out of here. So
cold-hotted.
Mr. Kong, could you give me a nice outgoing thing? A
nice...
Metal Gear Bagog.
Metal Gear! A Metal Gear Bagog? How would that go? Bagog!
We're waiting for you to...
Dude, okay. I'll try to do my little rendition of a Metal Gear Bagok.
Colonel, do you have it? Bagok. Through the roof and the
Pop, pop.
My name is Listen Man. New Mega Man character, Listen Man.
Listen Man.
Speaking of which, I have some interesting news for you in the news segment about Mega Man.
He's dead.
He shot himself in the face with his Mega Blaster.
Oh my God.
Couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. Dr. Wily just got... Oh, no. He got so depressed over the Battle Network series. It was like, why can't I just go back to the good old days?
I can't take this fucking shit anymore.
Yeah, I would rather be in an X game than these stupid network games. Ah!
What the hell?
Man, that would be that's a crazy glitch. Some depressing news, man.
Da na 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 na.